Well, my friends, good morning and happy 3rd of July. I mean, seems a little odd. Who was here for the fireworks last night? It was an amazing show. It was really, really fun. We watched it from the fields right here at church, which is nice for the children because the bangs aren't half as loud. And you can still see all the fireworks, so it was really nice. And we had some cover in the park, in the playground for keeping out of the rain, so that was nice as well. Well, anyway, folks, it is wonderful to be gathered here in our Father's house as we celebrate our salvation through him, the freedom that we have in Christ, and also that we thank him for the freedom that we have in this country of ours this week. Lord, I pray that, let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be here among us today. I pray that you'd send your Spirit to work in and through us. Help us, Lord, to understand your word, to know your gospel, Lord, to feel the pinch of your law, Lord, that we would be able to, Lord, bring our sins to you and receive forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for this great mercy that you have given us. In your name we pray. Amen. And we begin our service, my friends, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's see here. Let's confess our sins to God our Father. Please stand as we confess. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing.
Shining wealth is splendor through the sky. Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's, and it is a privilege to share the scripture reading with you this morning. The first scripture reading is from the book of Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 to 11. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And I think, Bob, are you going to do the sermon scripture reading? We're going to change things just a little bit and do the scripture sermon reading before the children's message on Sunday, because often the children's message is based on the sermon scripture. So that's why there's that little change in our order of worship.
The text, sermon text for today is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Then someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me as a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Children, at this time, if you guys would come forward, Miss Lauren has the message for you today.
Good morning, everybody. Come on up. It's so good to see you today. Well, you didn't know this, but not only are you guests at St. Mark's Children's Message today, you're also guests on our special game show, St. Mark's version of Deal or No Deal. Does that sound good? So we have two adults that I'm going to draw completely from random to be our contestants. Are you ready? Please welcome up Mrs. Falls. Give her a hand. All right. Contestant number two, Mrs. A. Give her a hand. Welcome. Welcome to the stage. We're so excited to have you guys here today. But before we play our little game, why don't you tell us a little bit something about yourself?
Hi, my name is Laura Falls, and I'm so excited. I love game shows. I'm so glad we made it to church today. We almost didn't. Our car was struggling, but it worked. We made it. We're here.
I'm so glad you're here today, Mrs. Falls. All right, Mrs. A, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, good morning. I'm going to be retiring soon, and I just want you to know that I have absolutely everything that I need. already, but I do not have everything I want. So this is a golden opportunity for me.
Okay. Well, as I said, we have some fabulous prizes here. So how this is going to work is I have 4 envelopes that you can choose from filled with fabulous prizes. If you want to make the deal, you can keep it. And if you don't, you can give it to the other person. That's how it's going to work. Yeah, you can give it to the other person. So, who would like to go first? I think she wants to go first. Okay, sure. Is that okay? Okay, you can draw first.
This one.
Okay, let's see. Are you ready? Let's see what it is.
Yes.
What is it?
$50. All mine. $50. There are so many things I could do with $50.
Yeah.
One can never have enough shoes.
So true. So you want to keep that deal?
Yeah.
Okay. She's going to keep it. Okay. So here's some more envelopes. You can pick one now.
Okay.
A fabulous price for you.
This one feels good.
Okay. Let's see what. See this?
A new used car.
Oh my goodness! And your car just broke down and.
She would like to give that to me.
Oh.
See, we have enough cars.
That's okay. It's okay.
A car can break down, so. Thanks.
Okay. Are you sure that's okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
We have more.
Okay. So, technically, it's Mrs. A's turn. Would you like another fabulous prize?
Of course.
Okay.
That one?
That one, sure.
Okay. A year of free school supplies.
Oh.
Now, you have no idea how many boxes of school supplies.
Yes. So many.
You can always use another paperclip, right? I'm keeping it.
Are you sure you would?
I'm keeping it.
That's okay. We homeschool. We could use some school supplies, but it's okay.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Really
okay. Well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we're very. That's very nice. Okay. Okay. Oh wait. Well, this one's for you. This one's for you.
Excuse me.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Sorry.
A gift card to the most amazing children's museum you have ever seen in your whole life.
Oh,
that's
perfect
so
for
cool.
you. That's perfect.
I have never been to this place. I don't have kids, and my nieces and nephews live like in Texas.
Oh.
But this looks really cool. I just don't have any kids to take, but I've never.
Do you want to take our kids?
No.
Okay.
We're just going to go.
Tell me how it is so we can go later.
Okay. So sorry about that. So you guys, this game didn't quite go as I was planning for it to go. I think we need to look at today's scripture again. So why don't we thank our contestants? Why don't I hold on to those? Okay. Well, thank you. Let's give them a hand. Let's talk about some stuff. Okay. So friends, Pastor Bob read a scripture today, and it was a parable. Have you ever heard the word parable? It's when Jesus would tell a story that people could understand, kind of an everyday kind of language, but it had a very important message. And the message today was that there was a person who was very rich, but he wanted more, and he wanted more, probably more than he needed, and probably more than he could ever use or even be alive to use. So, these things that God gives us on earth are very good, but they don't last forever. We don't last forever here on this earth, do we? But, did you know something? Did you know you are all very rich? You are very rich because you have something of great value that never goes away. And do you know what that is? That is the love and forgiveness and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And guess what? You and myself even too, and everybody here, we are so blessed that someone took the time to invest in us so that we could know all about this very important life-saving gift. And you know what? It is what we can spend all our time doing. We can spend our time going to church, learning more about Jesus, sharing his love with others. It is the most valuable thing that we can do, because we want everybody to be rich in Christ, don't we? Because it's so important and it never, ever changes. God's love for us never changes. What Jesus did for us on the cross never changes. So let's pray about that. And we're going to learn more about that too today in Little Worship. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for dying for us on the cross. Lord, it is so easy for us to want more things. And things are good, Lord. but they don't last forever, and they don't fulfill us and satisfy us the way that you do, Lord. Only you can give us all that we need in this life. We thank you for all the earthly things, but Lord, we thank you for saving each and every one of us on the cross. Help us share this important message with everybody. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. All right, thank you so much.
All right, folks, it is now time for a little worship. For anybody 4-year-old through 4th grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle. And Mrs. Norris is taking the kids out the back, but Miss Lauren is actually going to be teaching a little worship. So there we go. The rest of you, let's open up God's word here and let's do some meditation. All right. The text for today kind of starts out in an interesting way. Someone in the crowd says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." All right. Now, that sounds odd enough. I mean, you just kind of like wander out into a crowd and there is some guy standing up in the front and you just yell out whatever it is that you want. It's interesting, but it's even more interesting because of what Jesus has been talking about just before. In the verses just before the verse for today, Jesus was talking about the really difficult part of being a disciple. You know, that he was promising his disciples, he was saying, listen, things are going to be very hard for you. And you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be dragged before magistrates and governors and judges and be put on trial for being my followers. And this stuff is coming. This is happening. But don't worry, because I'm going to be with you. And the Holy Spirit, in the moment when you most need to know what to say, don't worry about what to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you words in that moment. And that I want you to be, instead of being worried about your own safety and worried about what you're going to say when the time get really rough, I want you to be focused on the task for which I have been sent and the task for which I am sending you into this world. Okay? Pretty big message, right? Pretty intense stuff. Kind of scary stuff. You know, you're talking about, you know, being persecuted. You're talking about, you know, being put on trial for being a Christian. And all of a sudden, you got this man piping up saying, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It's kind of a strange direction to go after all those really heavy topics. And the thing is the guy probably had something of a point. I mean, the whole inheritance method back there was that the first son got the lion's share of the inheritance, and then the rest of the kids divide up what's left. And so if you got a lot of brothers and sisters, your slice could be pretty skinny, right? And then you're looking at your brother's slice, and you're thinking, you know, this is something. But that's more, right? And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that the guy's brain went right to money right in the middle, right after Jesus was talking about all those stressful things, because we've been trained. You understand this? I don't know if you guys all understand how all this neuroscience works, and let me tell you, I don't. But I'll tell you what I know, maybe. I read articles. So I know what I know, right? But the way these people say it works is this: is that it's sort of like a trail in a yard. You know how that looks. It's like if you got kids that walk through your yard all the time. Yes, that's me. Kids that walk through your yard all the time, and pretty soon there's a trail where the kids walk because they walk there all the time, right? And they wear down the grass until pretty soon there's a dirt trail. And the reason that trail exists is because that's where everybody walks. But now that the trail is there, that's where everybody walks. You see how this works? All right. And they said that the brain, our neurons in our brain do similar things, that when we have a certain stimulus, we, in the beginning, choose what it is we go to for a solution to that stimulus. So stress, we need a solution for stress. Where are we going to go for a solution? What's going to be our solution? What are we going to do? We're stressed out. We have to do something, right? And so where do we go? recreation, amusement, right? Amusement parks, some kind of hobby, cars. Is that what you said? What? Beer. That's personal. Anyway, yeah, beer, yes, that could be it. What are we going to pick? You know, there's a whole bunch of options of things that we might fall to for this, right? And the thing is that what kind of underlies a lot of those to us in our brain is money, right? Because if we're going to have a hobby, guys, how much do hobbies cost? A lot, yeah. Exactly. If your relaxation is a vacation, how much do vacations cost? Yeah. I mean, if your recreation is education, how much does education cost? You know, a lot. I mean, it's like all of these things can be really, really expensive. And so what generally ends up happening is in our brain, we go from stress to money. Your car breaks down. What are you going to do? Pay somebody to fix it. Your air conditioner breaks. What are you going to do? You're going to pay somebody to fix it. You get a speeding ticket. What are you going to do? Yeah, exactly. It's going to cost money one way or the other, right? Okay, we're there. The thing is that money becomes the solution to all of our stress and all of our problems. And all of a sudden, Jesus now is starting to talk about all of the stress and all of the problems that are going to be coming in this next phase of the church, where Jesus is going to ascend into heaven. He knows this is coming, and he's going to be leaving his followers behind to do the work that he's left them to do, that is to spread the gospel and to share God's love with people. And he told them, this isn't going to go well. This is going to be stressful. This is going to be hard. You will be persecuted. You will be put on trial. Have a nice time. No, he says, I will be with you. I will help you. He does give an answer for the stress right there in the teaching. The thing is, the guy has a very well-worn path in his brain. And he has to retrain himself to go from stress, money, to stress Jesus, stress the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, it's the problem is that and this guy had made this very natural, seems to us like when we're reading it, like, wow, this guy's like not connecting with Jesus' teaching at all. I think he probably was. He just did what he was used to. And Jesus made him stressed, and he went to money. And the thing about money is there's never enough, right? Because he probably already had made a life for himself, right? And so the inheritance from his parents was not going to be the big thing that made his life work, but he only got this much and his brother got that much, and he was not okay with it because, you know, you could always use more. And so he talks to Jesus about money and how he can get more money. What was Jesus' response? You're not listening. Folks, listen. Money is nice. No question about it. It is nice to have some money. It is nice to be able to go to the grocery store and actually pay for it. That is a nice thing. And God does provide for us through money. He uses money to help us. But is that God's biggest gift for us? No, the biggest gift God has for us is a relationship. It's a relationship with the God of creation, the relationship with the one who loved you, a relationship with somebody who died for you, for the one who willingly gave himself completely to you so that you could live with him forever. The one that doesn't want you to live this life alone, even in this world right now, so that he has promised to be with you, and he has sent his Holy Spirit to live in and through you so that you will have the strength to live for him in this world, because without him, you got nothing. And he's the one that has created this relationship by which he continually and richly forgives your sins and the sins of all believers, so that we can have confidence in this relationship, knowing that Jesus is with us, that God is with us, that we are his children, that he will provide for us, that he gives us every good gift. And let me tell you what, we are rich. It's so funny because in our politics today, we talk about the 1%. You are all the 1%. If you look at the world population and the poverty that exists in the majority world, you have to understand you are the 1%. You guys are rich. You guys are well cared for. You guys are blessed. And God says, stop worrying about your money and turn your head to bigger things. Right? The first reading we had today. Let's read that one. Let's just read a bit of it. That's the first one. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Baptism, right? Baptism is a funeral service by which the old person is drowned and died, and that a new person is born again with the new life that we have in Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with God, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. You see the difference? Are we supposed to be worried about money and all the stuff of life? God kind of made a deal with us when it comes to this kind of financial stuff. He says this. He says, I will bless you, and you will responsibly, worshipfully manage the possessions I give you. You understand how this works? Who's in charge of how much you get? What's your responsibility with whatever God gives you? Be responsible, right? Be wise. Use it for his purposes and for his glory. Are you supposed to care for yourself out of that money? Well, I hope so. You need to eat, right? You're going to need clothes to wear. You're going to need stuff. God wants you to take care of yourself. Absolutely. Are you supposed to take care of your loved ones with that stuff? Are you also supposed to be generous with that stuff? And take care of the people around you, and to put money, resources, time, energy, everything that God has given you, not just your money, but everything God has given you, are you supposed to be putting that to God's purposes? And why? Because if he loved us, how can we not love these other people that God also loves? If Jesus died for me, if he made it possible for me to spend eternity in heaven just only because he loves me so much, not because I'm so lovable, but because he chose to love me in spite of my unlovableness. Yes, that's a word. We are compelled. We have to love the people around us. These other people that God created, these other people that God loves, these people that need to be either brought to faith or encouraged in their faith so that they will be able to sustain and live their life until the end, that we need each other. And God says, guys, stop focusing all your energy on your stuff and start thinking about your stuff as not an end in itself, but a means by which to do the work God has given us. That whatever it is that he has given you, don't be thinking about how can I get more. You know, it's one of those terrible things that, you know, the FDIC like only insures bank accounts up to like $250,000. Is it more than that now? It's something like that. There's like a limit of how much, and you can only put so much money in the bank in a bank account and have it be completely safe, you know? Isn't that stressful? Yeah, I mean, really? That's the kind of thing we're thinking about, right? And the idea is this, is that how about if when this, I love the parable Jesus used here because this, he used it from the opposite side. He said, instead of being, you know, being the poor person looking up and trying to get to security, he said, what happened if your ship came in? What happens if all of a sudden you won the lottery, you struck it rich? A rich uncle that you never heard of before died and left you millions. You know, that kind of a, you all of a sudden had everything you possibly could have, right? Is it enough? Is it satisfaction? Do you get to keep it? And so God says this, stop chasing after those things and chase after God's things. Let's read a little bit more of this for Colossians text. It says this, he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Do we have work to do? A bit, yeah. You also used to walk in these ways as you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. That's just on Twitter. I mean, do we have work to do? And here's the thing. God loves us through all this. I mean, we are messed up. But we have his forgiveness, we have his love, we have his mercy. And now he wants us to live that life out. He says, you are my perfect children, and now he wants us to start working at living like his perfect children. That we would start doing the good deeds that God has prepared in advance for us to do, that we would live out his will in this world so that we can bring him glory and worship through our lives. But we are not going to do that if we're focused on the wrong things. We're not going to do that if we're looking for comfort, for satisfaction, for security in anything other than him. Money's great. He gives us money. Trust in God, not the money. Right? Today's the 4th of July. One of the reasons a lot of people feel safe is because we have a big military. Right? Nobody's going to attack the United States. Well, we thought that in, 1949, too, when Pearl Harbor. Was that 49?
41.
41, thank you. And history. Anyway, nobody thought that the United States would get attacked then either. It was unthinkable. But it happened. So did God give us an amazing country? Do we trust the country? Or do we trust the God who gave it to us? So, folks, as we move forward, folks, it's funny. A lot of decisions that we make in this world, we think are not church decisions, not God decisions. How do we spend our money? How do we save money? How do we budget money? What do we spend our money on? We think of these things as really secular decisions, things that are just kind of whatever we want, whatever we think. God has so much to say about it. He really does. And as we go forward in our lives, and as we make these decisions, as we decide where we're going to be going this summer, and we need to be reconsidering what our money means to us. And it kind of goes like this. If I said, I want you to give $1,000 to church today, I'm not saying that. But if I did, would it cause you anxiety? Would you have the anxiety of saying, well, what if I don't have enough? Would it cause you stress if all of a sudden you had a large expense? Because now all of a sudden you're worried, do I have enough? And large can be different for different people. Some people, $1,000 is nothing. Other people, $1,000 may as well be the world, right? But the thing is that whatever it is to you, if God were to shake you up in a big way in your financial world, would that be so stressful? And if so, then why? Because that's an indication that we're more focused on security from our money than security from the God who made all things. And that's probably not a great deal. So as we go into the world again, I want you to be thinking on that. Because here's the real thing. I'm not all that interested in your money. God's got lots of money. I'm more interested in your peace. Because the peace that money promises is fake. It's false. It'll never bring it. The peace that God brings is real. and eternal. Your money you won't keep forever. You will live with God for eternity. And his promises are always certain. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to turn our hearts away from the world, away from the things that deceive us, and to keep us, Lord, from being able to live our lives in a worshipful way for you. Lord, I pray that you would help us use work through your Holy Spirit, Lord, to point out the places in our lives that we are wrong so that we can take these things to you and receive your grace and forgiveness for them and restoration, Lord, into the relationship you want us to have. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time to collect the offering. And as the offering is collected, I'd ask that you please register your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats. And also let us sing.
While we take our offering, let me offer some history behind the hymn we're about to sing. Our hymn for the month of July is My Jesus, I Love Thee. There are some who attribute this hymn to a poem written by William Ralph Featherston in 1864 when he was 16 years old. However, the first two lines of Featherston's poem are nearly the same as a hymn written by Caleb Jarvis Taylor, published in 1804. Taylor was born in Maryland in 1763 to a Roman Catholic Irish parents. He left home at 18 to become a school teacher converted to Methodism and became a preacher before he was 20. He spent most of his life in ministry in Kentucky and is the founder of what is believed to be the earliest Methodist church, Mount Gilead Methodist Meeting House, northeast of Lexington. He is considered one of the chief songwriters of the evangelical camp meeting movement, and the hymn My Jesus, I Love Thee was printed in his collection Spiritual Songs in 8 stanzas of 4 lines without any music.
I love thee, I know thy
Let us stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. My friends, let's pray. And as we pray, first, we want to thank God for this nation of ours. It's not perfect, but it is wonderful, a blessing from him, and we want to continue. We want him to continue to bless it. Arizona mission trip, our team has come home. They had a wonderful time out west, and we want to thank God for their ministry and just pray for Jacob, my son, who's still out there running teams on that site. National Youth Gathering is going to be leaving this week, later this week, so we want to be praying for them while they're out of town. We want to be praying for Luca Doshley. He had another seizure this week, so we want to be praying for that little guy. And Karen, daughter of David Bobolitz, who is struggling with advanced cancer and is really having a tough time of it right now, so we want to be praying for them, for her and her family as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us, Lord. First of all, you give us liberty, the liberty that you earned for us, Lord, the liberty from sin, death, and the devil, the liberty from the fear of hell, the liberty from being alone in this world, being without purpose. Lord, you have truly made us free. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to better and better understand the freedom that you give us, Lord, so that we are free, not free from things, Lord, but free to serve you, free to live our lives for your purposes, free to love our neighbors, free to use ourselves and all the things you have given us, Lord, in a sacrificial way for the benefit of the people that you love in your ministry, to the benefit of your gospel. Lord, I pray that you would help us live free. And Lord, I pray that you would also continue to bless the country in which we live, Lord, that you would help our leaders to be able to lead well and lead in ways that are pleasing to you. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to involve ourselves in our government, involve ourselves in the process in a way that will promote your values, Lord, your desires, your will, Lord, because your will is best. It is what works. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do our part. Lord, I pray that you would be with all of our soldiers, our sailors, our Marines, our airmen, Lord. Help them, Lord, as they serve us in whatever way they are, in whatever peace part of the world that they are in, Lord. Help them to make their decisions in a way that is pleasing to you and bring honor and respect, Lord. Help them to serve well. Lord, I pray that you would be with the kids who are, thank you, Lord, for having been with the kids that just came back from Arizona. Lord, all the experiences that they had, Lord, and the stories that they have to tell, I can't wait to hear them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with them as they process, Lord, as they learn from their experiences. And Lord, I pray that you would also be with the teenagers who are heading down to the National Youth Gathering, that they would have a safe trip down, safe trip back, and a blessed experience while they experience that gathering together, Lord, learning about you. Lord, I pray that you would be with Luca and Karen. Give them health, Lord. Give them peace. Give them, and be with their families, Lord, most of all, that they would have the endurance and patience and calmness, Lord, that they would, so that they can care for their loved ones. Lord, you are good. You are God. You are over all things. You know what we need. You know what we need before we pray it. You know what we need better than we do. Lord, I pray that you would be with your people, mercifully bless us, and give us all your mercy, all your blessing. In your name we pray. And let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
You have received God's very body and blood. You can't imagine a greater gift than that. The creator of the universe gives of himself to us. And through that gift, he gives us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. That's an incredible thing. And it's yours by promise of him. So as this is the fact, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together, the doxology. Please have a seat real quick. I've got a few announcements for you today. First of all, family meeting next week, July 10th at 10:30 during the Bible study time right after church. We're going to be talking about calling another pastor. Yeah, I'm telling you what, it's high time. All right, the other thing is no Camillas tomorrow. They're taking off for 4th of July or something. I don't know. Seems like a weak excuse, but whatever. We'll let them have it. So we're going to get back together in August. Let's see here. And Bible study today is going to be on Lord's Prayer and prayer. I guess using the Lord's Prayer as a model for prayer after the service today. And let's see here. Sunday school kids, if you want to meet Lauren in the front of the church today rather than in the lobby. I guess there's a lot of people in the lobby after church, so that's a little confusing. So we're going to try this instead. And let's see here. Oh, yeah, don't forget about the church picnic / Armbruster retirement party on July 31st. Bring sides and desserts to the party. And then last but not least, there's a whole you guys are really good at bringing us food that we can take over to the food bank and for the people who are struggling during these economic times. But we need some help getting them put in the car. So if some able-bodied people could help Sandra haul all those heavy cans out to her car so she can take them away for us, I sure would appreciate that. All right, with that, God's blessings on your week, and I'll meet you in the back.